Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Another edition of Restore the Floor. This is Stoney along with the one, the only, Evan Jenkins. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend.
Did you know that there's actually an Evan Jenkins in Ohio with the same spelling and everything? I found it out via the bank.
No relation?
None at all. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that is
so
crazy.
So I'm not the one and only.
You're not. You know what? We should do that at the opening. No. By the way, before we can start going to the Pistons, since it is Thanksgiving, would it be fair to say if there was a turkey of the year in the NBA, would it be Kyrie Irving? Or is there somebody else that I'm missing?
I mean, Jaylen Brown tried to take the cake by doubling down on everything that,
yes.
that Kyrie does.
Well, you could say Miles Bridges, too. But
no, he's the winner.
Yeah.
Because he cost himself the entire year yes, and maybe his career.
Yes, probably. All right. Tuesday night, the Pistons did something that they haven't done all season. They won a road game, like the Lions did 2 weeks ago. They win a road game. They get their fourth win of the year. Congratulations. And look, what's weird about this game was, obviously, Cade's out, and Isaiah Stewart is out. But now Sadiq Bey is hurt. They sent him home. And the bench basically scoring, not basically, they did. They scored 53 points. Knox, I mean, Kenny Knox, probably his best game in years. 17 points for Kenny Knox. Pretty impressive. Alec Burks, 21 points. Like I said, the bench, everybody was a plus player. The starters, conversely, in a weird opposite of 20, 28, 38, they were all, minus 44.
Yeah, they're all minus.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it again. I don't know how Isaiah Livers gets in that starting lineup.
I know.
But, I mean, he played 24 minutes. He scored 5 points.
Only took three shots. So
three blocks. I mean, listen, I digress. But first off, he can't play a four, let alone defend a four.
No.
So maybe that's still going to change. But, I mean, they're reluctant to bring Duren to start, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
and he played really good again.
I thought Bagley played pretty well.
Bagley did. Seven or eight from the field. He had,
rebounds number kind of worry me a little bit.
I know, 14 points. Bogdanovich again, 22 points. Jaden Ivey had a poor game. I mean, statistically, 3 for 11 from the shot, shooting, and he still had 5 points. Killian did have 9 assists, but his shot was off, 1 for 5 from three. They still did not shoot well from the three. 28%. But over 50% from the field, which is good. And they made 12 of their 14 free throws. I give them tons of credit now. When they were up like 12 with like 6.5 minutes left, and they almost blew the game, which has been the biggest problem of this team. When they are in games, they can't find a way to finish. Give them credit. They were able to hold off a full Denver team.
Yeah.
Jokic played.
And he only scored 31 with 10 assists, 9 rebounds.
Yes.
I mean, the dude is unreal. Like, yeah. He was averaging, 20 on the year or something along those lines. And he's a back-to-back MVP. He's as legit as they get. And you look at the stat sheet, you're like, well, they didn't do much against him. But they did. And to your point, all of their starters were plus 21, plus 16, plus 13,
yes.
plus 13, plus 11. It's their bench that killed them.
Killed them.
They were all negative. Negative 23, 19, 15, 12, 8, and 7. And, hey, if that's what the Pistons got to do to get wins is play the bench, then so be it.
Yes.
But that's not a good sign for the future.
No, not at all. But, look, this is a makeshift, team with all the injuries. But you
it
know,
is.
That
do
happens.
We know what happened to Bay?
I read it somewhere. But they did. They sent him home because originally he didn't play the night the previous game, so they decided to just send him home.
Yeah, they said he's gonna miss the next sprained right ankle.
Okay. So the Pistons right now are 4-15. Wednesday night, they take on probably the biggest surprise in the NBA, the Utah Jazz, because of all the moves that Danny Ainge made, including trading Bogdanovich here for Sabin Lee and Kelly Olynyk, everybody thought Danny Ainge was tanking the season, and with rightfully so. But out of nowhere, the Pistons will have to face probably a all-star, probably maybe the most improved player in the league, and that's Lauri Markkanen, who at age, what, I think he's 25, suddenly has become an unbelievable player with 22 points a game.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the skill set. He's tall. He's, what, 6'11", 6'10", something like that. He's got a big body. He can put it on the floor. He can take it to the rack. He can shoot. He can do all the intangibles that you want out of your big nowadays.
Yeah.
Now, did I ever expect him to score 22 a game?
No.
Not at all.
No.
But, I mean, first off, hearing Danny Ainge associated with any team other than the Celtics right now is kind of crazy to me.
Yes.
And but he's done well. I mean, then you look at like somebody like Mike Conley Jr., who he's out. You know, he's not going to play tonight, mm-hmm. but that's a vet that you could look at that can lead your team, right? I mean, he's not what he used to be.
No.
He's averaging 10 a game or whatever, but I like him. I mean, but then how are their rookies playing? Not much.
Well, Kessler plays, what, 14 and a half minutes a game, averages, you know, 5 points and 5 rebounds.
My man from Kansas, forgive me, I'll never pronounce his name right, the Ajabi.
Yeah. Well, he's only played 6 games.
Yeah, he's not played at all. But you look at this roster.
I can't believe Rudy Gay's still in the league.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember when he lost his eye in that basketball game while he was in college.
Yeah.
But you know, you got Colin Sexton there. And,
yes.
I mean,
good player. I
mean, he's not playing for them right now.
That was, you know, Colin Sexton was one of the guys that got in the Donovan Mitchell trade, which was another sign that this team was tanking. And, you know, Will Hardy, their coach, everybody's talking about the coach of the year because they are 12-7. They've leveled off a little bit.
And they're first place right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
exactly.
All you can ask for, right?
And, yeah, you know, Malik Beasley's playing really well.
You got Jordan Clarkson there. He's a solid NBA player.
And Kelly Olynyk is doing what I thought he would do for the Pistons, only he's doing it even better because I really liked him when he played for the Celtics, among other teams. He's averaging just over 12.5 points a game. He's played in every game, and he gets, you know, 4.5 rebounds. He's a decent outside shooter, leads the team in steals. So,
well, when you say decent outside shooter, he's shooting 50% from three right
yeah.
now. That's pretty damn good.
That's really good. That's what I thought he was going to be with the Pistons.
Speaking of threes, do you know who holds the current all-time shooting percentage record for the NBA in three-point shots?
No.
It's not Steph Curry. It's Seth Curry.
Wow.
At like 43% or something like that. Because I was watching your boys play against Brooklyn.
Right. Well, it's funny. You mentioned that.
Philly kind of went whack, huh? Like, yeah, well, that's the best they could do?
Well, you mentioned, you know, that game, and to digress for a second, and it actually ties in with the Pistons with their injuries. Philly playing Brooklyn, the return of Ben Simmons, and he was pretty good before the game and had a good attitude.
I thought he was great.
During he played pretty well, especially in the first half.
Yeah, like 11-11 and 7.
Yeah, and look, they booed him. He thought the boos would be louder, and that was cool. But a friend of mine said, I'm betting Philly on the money line. I said, money line. I said, they don't have Embiid's not playing. Harden's hurt. And now Maxey's, you know, has a major foot injury. I mean, their number one option is Tobias Harris right now. You're going to bet on them? And he said, well, it was like, you know, the odds were really good. And they won the game outright, kind of like what the Pistons did against Denver. Only Philly was home.
Yeah, I mean, nobody really. I mean, Kyrie showed up a little bit. Durant showed up a little bit. But it was just a weird game. I mean, the NBA is kind of a weird game now. But, yeah, their starting lineup was P.J. Tucker. How about this stat line?
Oh, he's been horrible.
He played 37 minutes. He scored 0 points. He went 0-6.
They got him for his toughness for the playoffs because they were, you know, accused of being really soft.
But then you got Montrezl Harrell, who's, I don't know what his deal is with Giannis and everything. That's a weird deal.
Oh, my God.
Shake Milton. Don't they call him Shake still?
Yeah.
Milton or Melton?
They got a Milton and a Melton. Right,
right.
I think it's D'Anthony Melton.
Yeah.
They got from Memphis as a free agent. He's pretty good.
They're just piecing together right
yes,
now.
Yes. They're just thankful they still have enough walking bodies on that team.
Crazy.
In fact, they just signed Sabin Lee.
Did they? I swear I saw Sabin Lee walking in with Dwayne Casey to that game last night, but I must have been mistaken because it looked just like him. I'm telling you.
It might be. So Pistons, Utah on Wednesday, and it's back-to-back, which every team goes through, but it's back-to-back altitude games.
Right?
I mean that's going to, you know, I don't expect the Pistons to win back-to-back on the road, but I said before the road trip, I'd be really okay if they won two out of the six.
Yeah.
So they got one. They got Utah coming up is the next game. And then Friday, they take on the Phoenix Suns. Well, Friday night, the Pistons close out the six-game road trip with a visit to the Valley of the Sun. And that means the Phoenix Suns, who lead the Pacific Division right now, one of the best teams in the NBA. Joining us now is one of the radio voices of the Phoenix Suns, a proud alum of Syracuse University, also a proud alum of WDFN, and Evan, I don't know if you know this, a longtime friend of golfing legend Aaron Oberholzer.
Oh, nice.
They went to, I believe, high school together. He is Johnny Bloom. What's up, Bloomer?
Stoney, Evan, good to be with you talking hoops. I'm ecstatic that you've taken on this challenge, Stoney, because I think it is your crowning achievement of your career. I know you've done a number of things in radio and television and, you know, all kinds of action. And Evan, I know you've got quite a past as well, but you probably have to agree with me that this has to be the crowning achievement for Stoney to be hosting a Detroit Pistons podcast. Yes. I'm really fired up about it.
Especially a team that does finally won a road game on Tuesday night. So.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, I'm in. And they wore their teal in doing it as well.
That's right. And they only, you know, it took maybe one or two more tries than the Warriors did to win a road game, so you can't feel that bad.
Crazy.
That's true.
Think about,
that's right. Know. The Pistons actually beat the Warriors here. That's one of their four wins, the Warriors. Let's talk about your team for a second. Tuesday night, a little interesting action with Patrick Beverley, the Lakers. Kind of a cheap shot on DeAndre Ayton. That was kind of weird, wasn't it?
No, it's not kind of at all. That is a cheap shot. It's horrible. The guy doesn't play basketball. I don't know why he's in the league. Why is Patrick Beverley an NBA player? He doesn't play basketball. Nothing he does on the court is basketball related. I mean, that is a that's a body check that would work on the ice. It's a body check that would work on a football field. That's not a basketball play. And I hope he gets to take a break from the game for a little while, like I've been forced to do, courtesy of COVID. He should be forced to do it, courtesy of the fact that he's making plays that don't resemble anything that anyone does on a basketball court.
And did he do it to Chris Paul a few years ago as well, correct?
2 years ago in the final, before the Western Conference Finals, it was an absolute Bush League move, a cheap shot, and that's what he did last night to a guy that's much bigger than him, so it's not going to hurt DeAndre Ayton when Patrick Beverley, you know, gives him that body shot. But with Chris Paul, it definitely could have hurt him, and his, you know, whole head snap back when he fell, and it was really infuriating to Planet Orange, as we like to refer to the Suns fan base here. But, you know, then Patrick Beverley goes back to L.A. After a brief stay in Minnesota where they were loving him up in Minneapolis. I don't know if you heard all that palaver last year, but boy, did they love him as a leader and what he was doing to their house. And he still was a cheap shot artist and not a basketball player. And then now he's on the Lakers. Are you kidding me? You put a guy like that the Suns hate on that team? Please do that, because it's going to motivate them to whoop them even more, and they're going to beat them all four times this year. I will be surprised if the Lakers get one against the Suns this year.
All right, John, you got to help me out a little bit, because I saw the game on TV and I thought I was watching Charlotte against the Lakers. Can you give me a little backstory behind those uniforms that Phoenix was wearing? Those, I don't know if it's teal or what it is.
Confusing one. Absolutely. All right, first off, Evan, the proper color is turquoise.
Turquoise, there we go. Okay.
Not teal. You guys get the teal
right
in the Motor City. And I was there covering the Stones when they were wearing those uniforms. So I have like a weird affinity to it. But as far as the Suns ones, these are awesome. These are dedicated to the 22 tribes that are recognized federally in Arizona. And on the uniforms itself, there's so many little, nuances that you don't get if you just see them on a highlight reel. But if you watch a game or you listen to us describe them on the radio, there is the word sun in all the 22 tribes languages along the sides of the jersey and on the shorts, the all the tribes are listed. It's just a very reverential. I'm trying to come up with how they're treating the tribes and how they're trying to include the Native Americans here in Arizona. And I am absolutely thrilled with it because I've seen the results from the tribes themselves. They love basketball. They have built gyms in the northern parts of the state that are unbelievably sparkling and look like professional basketball gymnasiums for the game that they're playing on their own land. And you know, it's amazing that now we're able to get that out because we can show these uniforms, and it just opens the door to telling more of the story, which I'm thrilled about.
Does Kerry Lake approve?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh, yeah, she's all over it, Tony. I mean, she's leading the challenge.
All right. Oh, yeah, no politics on this podcast.
Nope.
Let's talk about the team. In the offseason, everybody was under the impression that DeAndre Ayton was no longer going to be a Phoenix Sun. I mean, it was even rumored that the Pistons were going to offer him a contract. He didn't get along with Monty Williams in the last playoff game. Now he's back, and he's playing well, right?
He is. I mean, I think that there's still always this desire for him to take over and dominate because he was the number one overall draft pick, and there's always expectations with that. Lots of times they're unfair. I'm not going to say that they're unfair with DeAndre Ayton because now here he has his $35 million a year. He's in his fifth season. He should be ready to take the next step, and I think he will. I think that when it comes down to it, if the Suns are going to be successful in the end, in the postseason, he's going to play a huge role in that. He's already playing a big role in their success to start this season, and I don't think that the success in the regular season is taking as much of a priority with this group after what's happened the last couple of years. They obviously made it all the way to the finals, took a 2-0 lead on the Bucks before falling in six, And that was a hurt, you know, that they had to get over last year, and they did, and they rallied, and they had their best regular season in the franchise history with 64 wins. But then they go and they lose to the Mavericks and flame out in a way that none of us ever expected, and that was even more hurtful. So they had to bounce back after that, and now you're dealing with, you know, maybe a different attitude as far as the regular season's concerned, and we can see that based on Chris Paul missing 7 games. I don't know how bad his heel is, but I do know this is a pretty new thing for him to not play basketball when he feels like he can. And I don't know when they're going to decide that it is time for him to come back, whether that's Friday against the Pistons or whether that's, you know, when they hit the road after this homestand. But I think that it is part of what we're seeing with their new kind of prioritizing, which is making sure that if Chris Paul is going to be 100%, they want it to be when it matters most.
Now, with Chris Paul being out, there's a guy that people here in Big Ten country know, and that's Dwayne Washington Jr., and he's played better over the last week. Do you think his rise is still going to be there? He's had a game in the 20 points and 15 against the Lakers in the last game. Is that somebody that stepped up and really helped out the Suns?
Yeah, he's stepped up big time, Evan. And you know what's awesome about him is we get to talk Michigan a lot because now you mentioned Ohio State.
He's from
but
Grand
he
Rapids.
Claims the West. Yeah, he claims West Side. I mean, he's like Devin Booker. He calls him his big brother. When Booker was getting going in Grand Rapids before he moved down to Moss Point, Mississippi for high school, he was the star. Everybody in Western Michigan was looking at this young Devin Booker as a 13, 14-year-old kid and saying, wow, this guy, you know, might be one of our better players to come out of this region. But then he moves down south, and Dwayne Washington loses touch with his quote-unquote big bro, at least as far as being in the same city. They stay in touch. Booker basically laid out a plan with Dwayne Washington saying, you're next here, and we're going to meet at the top. And here they are playing for the Phoenix Suns together. It is such a cool story, and they talk about it. They talk about that history between the two of them and how, you know, it kind of broke apart for a little while. Then Dwayne goes to Ohio State, played great there, didn't get drafted, goes to Indiana, plays great for the Pacers in a role that he probably didn't even think he'd have as a rookie. And then the Pacers get rid of him because they want to open up room to offer DeAndre Ayton the max contract. So the Suns not only signed DeAndre Ayton, but they scoop up Dwayne Washington Jr., who they had to cut. So it was kind of salt in the wounds for the Pacers, but for the Suns, it's fantastic, and especially now that Chris Paul's not available because Cam Payne's been excellent filling in as a starting point guard, but then you got to go to somebody else, and Landry Shamet's been a guy that Monty Williams likes using in that role, but he's out with the concussion and has been out for over a week with that. So Dwayne Washington stepping up in a big way, and he is an exciting basketball player and a young one too. We don't have a lot of young guys anymore. I remember, Stoney, when I used to talk to you about hoops,
yeah,
when I was doing the post-game show for years, we would call this the daycare center. We had all these draft picks. That, now you guys have that. We actually have grown men. Dwayne Washington, the youngest of the group for Phoenix.
So. Yeah, we're joined by John Bloom, the radio voice of the Phoenix Suns. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, how is the breakup of Devin Booker and Kendall Jenner going to affect this team?
Championship, I think. I think it's got it. I think it's perfect timing. I mean, I think you get rid of the distraction and you move on. You focus on hoops. He's the best shooting guard in the NBA right now, and I think he's a leader. I think he's also been a reason why the Suns can win without Chris Paul because he handles the basketball a ton. He's a great playmaker. People don't understand that part about his game. I think, it's one of those deals where the relationship, I think that was exciting for fans. My girls definitely loved watching the tabloids and seeing him pop up in different events with the Kardashians. But I am of the opinion that Book's going to be just fine. And I think he's going to actually probably be better off in the long run because I just didn't think that was his crowd, you know, that whole part of it. I think Kendall's great. And according to my girls, that she's the best of the group. But as far as that's concerned, I think he's going to move on, and I think the team will probably be better off for it too.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed this, Stoney. After, I don't know if it was the last game, Booker went and wore himself a Lions hat afterwards.
So really?
He is representing the city.
Oh, good.
Do you ever hear them talk about the Lions there?
All the time. Not only do I love this young man because of what he means to the Phoenix Suns, but there's that extra connection. He knows I was in Michigan before I got here. So we've talked a lot about Lions. Even my wife, Jill, has broken it down because she still wears all her Lions stuff every single week, as Stoney knows.
Mm-hmm.
And Booker, you know, he's interesting with it. He's a diehard, but he also, you know, he loves to talk trash. So he would love to get the Lions in a position where he could start talking trash to the likes of Eddie Johnson, who's this big Chicago Bears fan, our television analyst, and, you know, all the other guys that rep their teams. Mikal Bridges is a Rams fan. His team's down this year after winning the Super Bowl. But, yeah, Lions 3 in a row. I hope they get one on Turkey Day, and we might have some trash talking with Devin Booker against with his teammates.
Now, my last one about Booker. I don't know, Stoney, if you saw this, but he rolled up to his game in a 1996 Chevy Impala. So, John, is he allowing you to borrow any of his cars to take out on the weekend? Because this guy's
yet,
car,
but Evan,
it's insane.
His collection's off the charts. So, Evan, I haven't been allowed to take one yet, but I'm going to transition my, like, attention from getting an invite to the Kardashian wedding to now maybe just getting to take one of the Impalas out for a ride. He's got so many old-school Chevys, and he's such a Chevy dude. Like, he's loyal.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, Stoney, I mean, he has, like, the garage, like, an entourage or something like that. It's ridiculous.
Like a Jay Leno garage?
Not that big, but right. It's close.
Well, hey, I'm a Sarah Whalen Chevrolet guy, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, Stoney's got his blazer.
Nice.
That's right. By the way, you know, hey, Devin Booker's great, but he's no Stanley Johnson. Okay, yeah. That was, you know.
Oh, have you not heard that bit before?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then there's always the Luke Kennard and Donovan Mitchell one. But then again, you know, the Pistons, if they would have taken Devin Booker, they probably won games where they wouldn't have been in position to take Donovan Mitchell, too.
Or they wouldn't have Cade Cunningham with a broken shin.
That's
it's a shame. I was looking forward to seeing him play, too. How long is he going to be out?
We don't know. He might have surgery, so it might be for a while. Hey, it's all about Victor.
What do people around the league say about Cade Cunningham? I'm interested to hear an outsider's take, because this is what I say, and it's kind of sacrilegious around here to even say this. I say that he is a very, very good player. I don't know if he is a great player yet. And what I mean by that, like, you can't have your point guard that can't shoot a three and – I don't know, but what is your take from the outside looking in at his game?
I think that from what I hear from other people and how I feel personally is Cade Cunningham is a guy who actually could become the player that everybody thought Ben Simmons was going to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Ben Simmons is never going to be that player. I think we all know Ben Simmons is never going to be the player because I didn't think Ben Simmons was going to add to much when he couldn't win at LSU as a college player. But that's my own take. He came into the league with all that expectation. Cade Cunningham as well. But the thing is, I believe Cade Cunningham has all those abilities, the playmaking, the defense. Not a great shooter yet. Better shooter than Ben Simmons, I think.
Absolutely.
And it's confidence. Like, I don't see him ever completely devoid of confidence, whereas Ben Simmons was devoid of confidence even as a college player a couple times I watched him. And to me, that is such a massive thing to overcome as an 18, 19-year-old. You know, if you don't have, like, unbelievable amounts of Devin Booker's confidence is through the roof. It's the beam that they put out in Sacramento when they win a game. That's Booker's confidence. It's just always on. It's always on. So to me, that's what helps him lift him to be as good as he is. He's not the best athlete in the world. He's not the greatest shooter in the world. He's one of them. But, you know, it's confidence that makes him make all these shots and make the plays that he needs to make. I don't see that in Ben Simmons, but I do see that in Cade Cunningham, and that makes me confident he's going to turn into an excellent basketball player and have a great career. I don't know if he'll be a superstar, Evan, to answer your question. That's the tough thing. When we take guys that high in the draft, you always expect them to be a superstar, but they don't.
Do the Pistons have any shot Friday night?
Yes, they do. Because in this league, right now, Stoney, every team can beat every team. There's maybe a couple exceptions, okay? I mean, the Houston Rockets are pretty bad, but they've already beaten a couple good teams, too. I know they don't have more than 3 or 4 wins, but that's what I'm looking at right now in the regular season is you can jump up on a night and you can take a team out that's not prepared to beat you. And the Suns are going to have to play back-to-back for the first time at home because they play Pistons Friday, Jazz Saturday, and they're going to have their minds on the Jazz because they just lost in Utah. So it is a chance. But if the Suns play their game, they should be able to get the job done. They're still pretty tough to beat.
All right. So you're in town on Saturday, February 4th. The Suns, you want to get your tickets to see Devin Booker, Pistons.com, Ticketmaster. That's the place. So we'll have a weekend with the Bloomer. Now, hopefully you guys aren't playing Friday night, too.
Yeah, I think we are on a back-to-back that trip, too. But you know what? I am excited to see you regardless. We won't have golf this time on in February.
No.
Detroit, I'm guessing. Maybe some indoor activity, some pizza. I don't know. I'll let you pick where we're going to go, Hank.
All right. Bloomer, thanks as always. Get better, and we appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
John Bloom, the voice of the Phoenix Suns. What a good dude. A really good golfer. About your level, a little bit, maybe a little better than you. So maybe
when he
comes in this summer, because he always does, because he goes to Camp Michiganian because his wife is an alum of the school you hate. So he's in all the time. So yes, we will we'll get together and play golf. He used to do a show that was kind of competition to our boy Jeff Lesson.
Ooh,
mm-hmm, with Bill Hobson, the guy who now does the stuff on TV
on Bally Sports.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
we have the same haircut. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, you're right. I never thought about that. Well, we thank John for joining us, especially getting us all the update on the Devin Booker, Kendall Jenner stuff.
Yeah, I mean, Booker is so intriguing. And then, you know, being from here, I'm using air quotes because it's Grand Rapids. And
yeah.
It's like somebody growing up in the UP and like us claiming them.
But yeah, exactly.
Anyway, it's very intriguing. And I didn't even know that about him and Dwayne Washington, but they are close enough in age.
Yeah.
And that's a very intriguing story. Rico Beard of the Valenti and Rico show tells me that Dwayne Washington wanted to go to Michigan State so bad, and they just never recruited him.
And was that Foster Lawyer instead of...
I think it was Cassius.
Oh, okay. Well...
It worked out fine. Yes, it worked out just fine.
It worked out pretty damn well. So the Pistons taking on the Utah Jazz Wednesday evening. What's the line on this game, Ed?
The Utah Jazz is favored by 11 points. Do you know what the money line is here? The Pistons are plus 430. The Jazz are minus 600. So I'm going to say that the Jazz are a slight favorite in this game.
Yeah. I don't know. Pistons on a back-to-back. Can you expect the bench to come through again? Hopefully the starters will play better. It's a lot of points, but if I was a betting man, I'd lay the points.
See, I would actually, after watching that yesterday, I would actually think that they could stay within 11. Now, I was very, very scared at the end of the game, like we had talked about earlier, about them kind of choking it away. I mean, they were up 10. I looked away for a moment, and then I'm like, they're only up three.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like back-to-back threes that they hit. And listen, it was a great win. I mean, Aaron Gordon can still jump up the gym.
Yes.
That's crazy what that guy's doing. But it's a great win to go up against the reigning MVP, get that dub, try to get it. They're going to cover. I don't think that they win this game.
No, and the fact that they finished the game out.
And
psychologically winning a game on the road, we saw that with the Lions. This stuff, it does matter, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, even Corey Joseph played well. He was in there at the end of the game. Like I said, I don't know why Ivy wasn't in there at the end of the game. And it might have just been situational, right?
Yeah, if somebody else was playing 3-for-11 from the field.
And if somebody is playing better, then so be it, right? I mean, that's the NBA. There's 12 dudes on your bench or on the team for a reason.
Yes.
And they're all good enough.
Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Another edition of Restore the Floor next week. We appreciate the listenership and don't get too stuffed on the turkey. Talk to you next week.